Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back. Welcome to I Am Resistance in the End Times. Morning, my fellow livestock slaves and resistors everywhere. This talk is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization, resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our minds. Resistance to this insane culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression at every turn. We seek truth in a culture of lies, violence, and kitsch, to action for those who will listen, a cry to unite and stop this toxic culture before it is too late. We must defend and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake moral beings attuned with nature, to re-indigenize, reconnect with the forbidden. This seems like a vast undertaking, but is our only hope for the future of the living world. This insane culture must be stopped. Rebellion is the only way, and radical feminism is a guide to all who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination cultures. Industrial civilization must be dismantled and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight the insanity of industrial civilization. We must fight. We must support resistance any way we can. Read, think, talk, resist, act, resist. We must recognize the reality we are in. We have to recognize the truth. Hi, everyone. I hope you're all well. I'm well. Anybody that tried, you know, I took a year off from talking smack and ranting to just listen, to watch, to pay attention, to listen, to watch, to pay attention, to read, to study, to think, to try to survive, to detoxify the best that I can. I practice a life practice. I hope you all do as well. To resist, to strengthen that resistance, to strategize, to think, to study, to examine, to go out and, you know, listen to people, to listen to our culture. I talked last week. I couldn't get this blog talk. I think I have it set up for right now. It's tricky, but I got it going. So yeah, I'm here, and I did a little rant on my Facebook page. I Am Resistance. Check it out. Talked to a lot of different people over the last year. It's been interesting. Watch the election here in the United States, and watch the madness grow in leaps and bounds. Always good to see that all is going as planned, which is wonderful. Our new president in this country is just exactly what the doctor ordered to help facilitate the downfall of it. So, I know a lot of people, especially liberals, are all upset, but that this new president is exactly what the doctor ordered. And something, you know, what sort of brought me back to wanting to talk and talk more with people was talking with people on the internet, of course, and talking with people around me and listening. And I spent a lot of time listening. I would say my 2016 was a lot of silence and listening, though I'm sure I still spoke plenty. But I listened to so much that went on in that supposedly bad year, as the media likes to talk about. I'm not going to evaluate the year. The year was what it was. The year was the illusion and the lies and the nonsense that is civilization. And I heard themes and this and that, and of course the divisiveness of the election, and just the general malaise of the culture continuing to chug away and consume and consume and consume with complete thoughtlessness as always, and it just keeps going and going, chugging away, and it's quite interesting to watch and of course participate as all good slaves do. And I am a good slave, just as you're a good slave. How can we be good slaves? Because we have the internet. That's exactly what they want. We have our smartphones and this and that, and, you know, we're just really good slaves, and that offends a lot of people. That offends a lot of people to tell them they're slaves. And you know, it's not a popular thing to say to people. You know, you make a lot of friends doing that. They love it when you say, hey, we're all slaves. But, you know, you call it like you see it. Talking out against civilization, talking out against anything that's established in this culture doesn't make you a very popular person. Thinking in this culture doesn't make you a popular person. In fact, it can cost you your life. And, you know, you do what you got to do. And that's where we all have our so-called choice as to how we want to do it, and if we want to do it at all, or just go about our lives and, you know, live in our, try to make it as comfortable as possible. And I think that's the resignation that I witness most of the time, is that people are like, you know, I get what you're saying. And most people can see it plain as day, but they you know, they're comfortable. And that's what they strive for, is ever greater comfort, which is very understandable. That's what we're taught. That's what we have. The state, the corporatocracy, gets to dictate the level of response to it, because we all know the alternative. The alternative is exclusion, homelessness, basically, to be ostracized, which we're already in an ostracized dimension, to be imprisoned, which we already have, what, 2.4 million people in this country, highest per capita of any first world country, that would be killed outright by the death squads that we like to, you know, that response, that's a pretty stark deal. So, you know, we pretend that we're activists. And that's all you can do in that sense. You have to sort of, within the confines of the cage, you say, how can I resist? And that's not the conversation that's going on. It's more like, how can I react? How can I react because I feel outraged, because I feel powerless, because I don't like what's going on? And that's what I heard a lot. I really paid attention to the psychology of this toxic culture, which is people so caught up in their egocentrism and narcissism that they can't see anything other than that. And their resistance has to conform to that cage of their mind, to that likes and dislikes. Yes, I want to resist, but I want to resist in this very particular way. Or I'm against this in a very particular way, and I'm going to stay in that very particular way of resisting. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to debate about anything else. And I want to just have my resistance the way I want to have it. And anything that may deviate from that is detracting from or hurting the movement, whatever that movement is. And I particularly started to watch the vegan movement, which I am a whole food plant-based diet advocate as a part of health. I think the vegan ideology, as they call it, I hear, has some really strong points about how unhealthy it is to eat that. But that aside from the fact that we are murdering and murdering and murdering and murdering hundreds of billions of animals, or hundreds of millions, but billions, you know, a year, to have this food source that isn't even in any way good for us. But what I saw was vegans attacking vegans. I loved it. It was, so you had these vegans attacking these direct action vegans. So you had this group called Direct Action Anywhere, never heard of them, and this other group called Disrupt Speciesism, doing these direct action movements against all sorts of different, you know, I don't know, they were just going everywhere and like disrupting things and attacking things, you know, freeing animals, whatever you want, you know, being the animal rights activists they are, you know, and then the other vegans firing back saying, this really hurts the vegan movement. I was just like, this is the epitome of a circle jerk. Forgive my metaphor, but it's just like, this is what it is to be distracted. This is what it is to think that you have a cause and then be distracted because it comes back to that same toxic psychology. I know a guy who, he's a hardcore straight edge vegan, and he's also an anti-natalist. So he's on that, we need to reduce the population wagon, you know, population, you know, so we can, you know, because it's so disruptive. Every kid we have is just killing the planet. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, but yes, I agree. But here's the thing. We're already collapsed. We're already in collapse. We're already lost. We're already destructive in this psychology that we don't go and examine. Because all of this activism is really about our psychology of helplessness, because it really comes down to, and I'm gonna get it simple. It's simple. We're slaves. And until we see that we're slaves and then really see what that means, see it, what does see it mean? When we really see it for what it is, not what we want to perceive it as, not how we want to filter it through our ego, not how we want to try to reconcile it and try to make, you know, friends with it, or put it into categories so I can get through my day, or psychologize it, or anesthetize it, you know, this lie of the psychology. We are slaves. And when we, if you see that simplicity of it, then in seeing that you're a slave and dominated in every aspect of your life by the trauma and the violence of living separate, cut off, alienated from life itself, from each other, then clarity is possible. So my response to the vegans, or the vegan anarcho-primitivists, or the vegan naturalist whatevers, or the non-vegan and a carnivore, whatever, it's all a distraction. There's no right way to live in this toxic cesspool. You're a slave. Yes, you're going to live as you live. You have preferences that you've developed, but they are not you. You are not defined by it, but you allow ourselves to be dominated by it, dominated by discursive thought, which is this so-called rational mind. To only think in the form of language, to only want to have narratives that make us feel good or challenge something, when it's really slave in the cage. Anything that doesn't challenge the cage, we're still in Plato's cave allegory. Everything is a parable to that. Now, you don't have to agree with that. I don't care. See it for yourself. See it for yourself. You are a slave. I am a slave. What are we going to do about that? But I'm not just something, oh, what are we going to do? And people always jump to that. What can I do about it? First, really see that. See what a slave you are. And then see what resistance means. And I see it as it can be anything. And that's my point. Anything that disrupts this cesspool, and I mean anything. I don't care what it is. Anything that's disruptive, anything that challenges it. Not to reform it, because to me, if you look at it, to reform it, to make it better, what a wonderful thing that you can, what a great day to talk about this on Martin Luther King Day. A nonviolent resistor that we look now, what, 50, 60 years ago, did darn near nothing. Oh, but they got the day for it. They got a nice holiday, and I appreciate that, really, because that's just one less day I have to be enslaved by my job. Oh, but I'm still enslaved, so don't think otherwise. Hey, thanks for the day off. But they just adjusted elsewhere, I know. So But I studied that thinker, and I've studied all of those thinkers, whether it's Malcolm X or MLK or Gandhi or all of those who want to change, but not overthrow this way of life. Not far enough, but it's something. It's something. It's a disruption. It's a challenge. But again, what has happened in those years? We're worse off than ever. So people ask me, you know, about the deep green resistance, read the book, critique it, what have you. They have it right. They have it right. But why haven't they done anything? Because they don't want to die. That's really what it comes down to. It is they called for us to unite and nobody came. They called for us to start to strike out, and maybe they have. And there they are, those underground, and that's what, again, the narratives that we're spinning. Those are the attacks here and there, this and that, that the media jumps on with their produced narratives. If we stop identifying with our Facebook, stop identifying with that psychology by seeing it for what it is, a toxic lie, all of it is a lie. All of it. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that people are like, what? That's so scary. Oh, my God. Yeah, but it's all lies. Every thought in your mind is a lie, filtered through your trauma, filtered through disconnection, filtered through a culture that is normalized and commodified terror, horror, and reality. Now we all get to live in our own realities. I can put in my headphones and go out into the world and pretend, you know, I'm the man. I can play my music and it'll tell me I'm the best thing since sliced bread. It can tell me that I'm the greatest resistor in the world. It can tell me that I'm profound. It can tell me all these things, but it's lies. All of it is lies. These movements, whether it's the deep green resistance or the Black Panthers, they're all lies. They're just something for us to pretend with, to pretend that we're part of something so we can identify with it. All identity is lie. It's all the same slave mentality. Just put a different pair of pants on. It's like trying to compare the mental illnesses that we like to play with you know, OCD, with autism, with bipolar. They're all lies. There's no such thing as anything of these. There's no such thing as mental illness. These people are traumatized, just like I'm traumatized. I just function better because I was raised differently, or all these explanations that are really just lies that I can fit in the machine better than they do. So I'm normal. But normal is itself the greatest dysfunction of them all. Right? So it's that whole, like, you know, read a book, whatever, but really it's just you're sitting there in an ego separated from everyone, cut off, lonely, bored, dumb. You're a slave. And that slave mentality, and maybe I do mean in the Nietzschean sense, I don't know. I've studied my Nietzsche, but there's no Übermensch in here, nein. There's no Overman, there's no transcendence here. You see it for what it is, and you challenge it. You challenge it. If you can come together with people and challenge it together, that's what we need. But nobody will, because we're all afraid. So I read this article recently by a wonderful writer. I don't remember his name. I just thought he was a nice writer. But he's critiquing, you know, the anarcho-primitivists and the primitivists and the anarchists, and, you know, just sort of like, you know, not a hard critique, just, you know, like, hey, I'm really kind of tired of stuff. I'm really tired of listening to them talk, you know? And, you know, I wrote a response to it. I got to find the link. I kind of lost it, but I got what he was saying. You know, it was well said. I was very appreciative of his thinking. But it's also this sort of like, I don't know. It's that sense of our sort of activism for our ego. And you know, for those of us, you know, some people have been activists for, you know, 20, 30 years, and they're burnt out. They're trying to make a living. Some of us, you know, activists are talking crap or whatever, who those of us that think we're awake for a while, you know, it kind of wears you down because you really just, I still got to get a job. I still got to live. I got to pay my bills, you know, kind of go about it. And it wears you down. And so, you know, I responded to the, you know, this sort of, you know, that there's a weariness in what he wrote. And I said, I think we can all agree that we're weary of platitudes and promises that many make in speaking out against society, or in this case, civilization itself. Oh, the futility, the utter guile, and the armchair rebellion. What are we really being offered here? The pretense of something better after the fall of this way of life. Perhaps it is the right of every cynic only to see only as far as their own logic, perception of insight. We can also perhaps agree that we are completely and unequivocally slaves to something unquestionably not us. Not, for lack of a better word, human. This dimensional reality is where the monsters are, the zombies, the artificial intelligence, the ghosts reside. What is clear is we are so traumatized by our disconnection, and it breaks us down ever so greatly and blinds us to being able to see anything beyond thoughts, ideas, and concepts. What most fail to do is see that we see what we see. Right before us, it's to see what we see right before us, and it's not rewilding or primitivism or anarchy or reformation, but a rebellion against alienation, disconnection, separation. All words of the same thing, desolation, to be cut off. To sense with what we have with us always our instincts. We cannot will ourselves to instinct. There is no trying or appropriating or becoming with instinct. It is what we cannot hear because it is discursive language. And we are so seriously damaged that we cannot see anything but what the damage tells us. And it says we are separate, distinct, and alone. In silence, we sense the lie, the great lie of consciousness, civilized. There are no words in connection, no egos, no context, nor ways to live. There's only life, and since we cannot understand through the damage of thought, we will ourselves blind. We want to be blind. More so, we are imprinted so severely that connection is permanently lost to most. They live as most live, alone, fractured, yet at the same time, what is left for their instinct cries for connection. Some call this the porcupine dilemma. We guard the ego at the expense of connection, facilitating ever greater isolation, perpetuating it. The vacuum of consciousness is the mind, as John Trudell says. What we fail to see is we are slaves, only allowed to think in slave terms. Every Nietzschean would agree. But always fail to go deeper. They cannot see. Many often ask, what will it look like after the collapse, and contemplate survival. They talk about developing skills to survive. They fixate on the fiction of survival, thinking that is what it's all about. Here's the thing. We are already collapsed. This is what it looks like. We are slaves who cannot see the fences anymore, domesticated animals who do not run when the gate of the cage is open. There's no place to go. We do not even notice it, really. We're too busy devising, strategizing, presenting arguments, pretending to be outraged at the constant horrors of daily life, while the majority of the first world arranging our times for entertainment and other amusements. Is it the banality of evil? Are we weary of being with... Are we weary of being? With anarcho-primitivism specifically, I'm getting tired, and this is what the author says, of them saying civilization is unhealthy and killing us, interspersed with, quote, rewilding is almost impossible for most people and has a good risk of killing you, end quote. That's right. They work on their projects, and that's, this is him saying, that's right, they work on their projects and I'll go work on mine. You know, that was his response. And on my, there's been this whole thing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired too. I am. I'm tired of people not being tired of being collaborators with atrocity, being a culture of rape. And I'm tired of people embracing their enslavement, embracing their separation, embracing their mindlessness, embracing their servitude, the submission that they submit with, they submit happily with the promise of comfort, you know? They submit because the promise is I get to live when they're already dead. We are already dead in that sense. We've allowed ourselves to get caught up in the material world to such a degree that we can't see anything if it isn't right before, if it's not touching us. Like we think this is all there is, the material world and time. We think that this is life and death. And we see and we don't even look because there's nothing to see except connection. We don't want connection. We want answers to lies, answers to fictions. We don't want the substance that nourishes us, that nurtures us. We won't consume it because there's nothing to consume. We don't want to see. And so we work very, very hard to stay blind. We get tired of let's liberate this. Let's liberate. And here's my point. I go back to that again. Anything that disrupts this, even for a moment, is good. Then I'm going to read this last part and I'm done for the day because my time is up. I'm reading this from Jeriah Bowser's Elements of Resistance. Read it. It's fantastic. Quote, "It must be understood that any action taken to stop this insane cycle of violence, no matter how violent, could not possibly be more violent than the daily level of violence that is happening every single day of every single week, of every single month, of every single year that we don't stop it. No direct action, no bomb, no armed struggle, no method of revolution could ever possibly hope to meet or exceed the level of systematic violence that is being executed by the continued existence of these very bad ideas. Even an all-out nuclear war, as catastrophic and violent as it would be, would ultimately mean the cessation of this oppressive and thus ending this culture, which necessitates violence at every turn to maintain its existence, and would ultimately be less violent than the continuation of the business as usual." Well said, sir. Well said. Anything that disrupts business as usual, anything is good. And for us slaves, any way we can disrupt it, any way we can sabotage it, any way we can F it up is good. But we have to start first by getting clear of what we're effing up in ourselves, smashing that ego and narcissism. As Eric Fromm would say, those are the two breakthroughs that must happen if anything is going to happen, anything real is going to change, anything real that's going to end this insanity. Because to think that this culture or any culture is sane, they need to take a really hard look. Until next K-Day, for those of you who get the day off, and I'll talk to you next week. Let's try some Saturday, Sunday. We'll see what's happening. Peace with you all. Go fight something. I love you. Have a good afternoon.